Okay, first I want to explain, what's the difference between a vad and a shir? We specifically call this a tefillah vad. So, really the difference is as follows, that whereas a shir, I'm sitting on this side of the table, and you're sitting at that side of the table, and I talk and you ask questions. The idea of a vad is it's more of a group discussion. So, not group therapy, rather group discussion, which means we're going to work on an Indian together. So the idea would be, and I'm this time I'm just going to really dedicate to understanding what we're trying to accomplish, how we're going to do this, and what's going to be the format of these vadim as we continue on. But the idea will be that everybody will be involved, and everybody's going to give input, and hopefully together, we're really going to effectively be able to change the way we daven. That's our goal over here. Now, we have to understand what's our motivation to change our davening. Well, you're all here. It's a good sign. It's a good start. You obviously care. So the question is why? Like, what's wrong with the way it is? What is it that we need to change? Why do we feel we need to change? So we have to think about that. We'll get to that in a second. Typically, we think that we all try to change, right? Every Yom Kippur, probably make a Kabbalah, find some random word in davening that we'll try to have them by, and whatever, you know, we shoot a Kabbalah here, there, and you know, and it works, it doesn't work, and obviously, like I've said in the past, when you keep on throwing the same solution at a problem and it doesn't work, it's time to start thinking of a new solution. So, those have limited, they have definitely some help. I'm not saying it doesn't work, and there are definitely some that work, but we need obviously a makeover on our approach so that we can see if we can change. So, now the interesting thing is that I've been studying this sugya of change, and effectively being able to change yourself. And there's a lot written on it, you know, in the secular world. And I found one particular book which I liked a lot. It was called Switch. What I liked about it is that really he reflected all the yesodos of the Baalei Mussar, but he made it very practical. And he found a way to really hone it down into three basic concepts to be able to change. He starts off with a question as follows. He says, people say it's very hard to change, right? Say, oh, tried so many times, people never change, right? He says, but you think about it, there are certain changes that people do very readily and very happily. People get married. That's a very serious change, right? You put yourself directly into debt, you know? You stop practicing yoga, bending over backwards to break your will, you know? You put up all sorts of stuff. And people just do it. They just accept it on themselves. People have children, right? He says, you know, how many people would choose a boss that, like, wakes them up in the middle of the night screaming, spits up on them, and people choose it, right? So how could you say that every change is so hard and so difficult when we see there are changes that people are very happy to accept on themselves? So what's going on here? Why is it some things are so hard and some things work better? So his idea is as follows. His idea is that there are three components to an effective change. And he says this means if you want to change personal change, a habit, you want to change something on an organizational level, you want to change something in a business, you want to change something on the national level. And he has lots of examples of each one. And he says you have to appeal, and I'll tell you what he calls it, and I'll say what really Baalei Mussar calls it. He says, you know, you have to, first of all, appeal. He calls it a rider, an elephant, and a path. That's his mashal. And we would call it your seichel, your lev, and the derech, right? That's why the Baalei Mussar would refer to it. And the idea is like this. You have to first appeal to your seichel, and you have to make it understand how important this is, right? And things that your seichel gets excited about, right? Things that appeal to your intellect. Intellectually, you understand that this is an important thing, and this has to be done, and why this is here, and what this is, how this is effective, what it causes, what changes it does. Then you understand why it's important, and you're motivated to do something about it. But then, that's very nice, you understand it, right? But there are many people that understand many things and don't act on it. There are many marriage counselors that are divorced. There are many nutritionists that are very obese, right? So just because you know something doesn't mean that you act on it. So you have to then find a way to get that information to talk to your emotions, that it should relate to you. That's what he calls addressing the elephant. We would call v'ashivoisa l'vavecha, that you have to be able to engage your heart. And lastly, he says you have to carve out a path. You have to clear a path. You have to make it easy. You have to figure out mehalchim etzis, different ways that we can find it, make it easy for us to affect this change, to accomplish this change. Most of the time when we were making our Kabbalahs on Yom Kippur, in Yom Kippur we're in a certain state of mind, right? So we're in a state of mind that we understand why everything is so important, right? And we're in the state of mind that we're very, very emotionally charged about davening. So the emotion is all there. So then on Yom Kippur we say, okay, it's just like we need a reminder, right? We need a path, so we put in, I'll just put in a little sticker on my Shemoneh Esrei, I'll put it by the bracha, and then everything will fly. But then everything else falls out, and we're just left with the sticker. It doesn't work by itself. So what we're going to try to focus on is we are going to try to apply this mahalach, this approach, when we're learning about tefillah. So we are also going to be learning about tefillah, Mirtz Hashem. So we'll be learning about the particular points in tefillah, which I think this is a good place to start, is the parts of tefillah that Chazal really put up a stop sign. There are parts in tefillah where Chazal said, if you're not mechaven, you have to go back. That means, do not pass go without paying $200. Right? Don't do this without being, you have to go back and be mechaven. And the idea is, you hit the brakes, because if you hit the brakes, then it'll have a ripple effect in the rest of your davening. If at some point you have to stop and think, so then the hope is, and then that'll have an effect on everything else. And obviously, the harder you hit the brakes, the bit more ripples it'll create, and the more effective it'll be at changing the rest of your davening. So those places on davening are as follows. Ashrei is one of them. Pesach Chesidach, you have to be mechaven. Now you have to say it again. Shema, you can't say without kavana. You'd say. First bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. And Yeheshmei Rabba. Yeheshmei Rabba Mavarach is something which Kavanah is ma'akev and Kavanah is essential. So those are four areas where Kavanah is necessary. It's a stop in the davening, it's stop, bimachavan, and then hopefully we'll find a way to change your whole davening. So I want to start, Mirtz Hashem, next week. We'll start with Ashrei. And we'll try to apply this. Ashrei you say three times a day. Right? So obviously Chazal found it very important and very essential to davening. And hopefully, if we get ourselves starting to appreciate Ashrei and start to daven Ashrei like a mensch, then we'll see the effect it will have. Now, the way we'll approach it is as follows. First, we're going to understand, for example, in Ashrei's case, we'll try to understand the importance of it. Right? We'll understand why Chazal found it so important three times a day. Why do they say Ezu ben Olam Haba? Someone who says Ashrei. We'll try to come to the appreciation of what Ashrei is doing. What is it doing in davening? What are we trying to do in Ashrei? What does it represent? Why is it so important? Why is it so important for us to be mechaven? So we'll come to that appreciation, come to the chashivas of Ashrei to know what we're doing. You look in Yisrael B'Sherei Shavayda, he's full of this. Yisrael B'Sherei Shavayda lives in the time of the Vilna Gaon, wrote a sefer on tefillah, and although he was a chassidish, this is just about as close as a misnagid could get to being chassidish, in this sefer. And he even tried, they say. He even went to the Maggid, but it didn't go. This is the whole story. It didn't work. But Al-Kopanim, he had his own mahalch, and it was close enough. So you look, he talks about Yehei Shmei Rabba, right? And he approaches it and just gives you an understanding of what you're doing when you're saying Yehei Shmei Rabba. He says, he paints a picture, if you would realize, it says, what's going on in this world, how dismal our situation is in Galus, and how, the Shechina is down in the ground, and he says any person who would appreciate that would cry for an hour and sit on the ground. And he says, and then if you would know what you're doing when you say Yeheshmei Rabba, you're breaking the klipas and you're pounding away at the things that prevent the geula, and here you have it in your hands, and like, how could you not be mechaven? How could you not be energized? So things like that talk to us, and we realize, okay, one second, this is something very, very important, right? So that'll be the first thing we'll do, to just realize the importance of the tefillah, of the particular tefillah, realize what the words mean, why they're there, and how those words, what their importance is, what their effect is. Then, and I think this is a key thing, and this is really what perhaps a lot of times is what's missing, and why we're not so effective in changing our tefillah, is we have to find a way that tefillah relates to us. That's a very key thing, which means you can know how important Yehei Shmei Rabba is and how you're knocking away at the galus. But that's a concept, right? And davening to Hashem is also a concept, it's not something a person can feel. It's not something a person can touch. There are things that a person can feel, and there are things a person can touch. There are ways to understand what davening means to you in a way that it will cause you to be mecham. Why is it that in Yom Kippur we are so energized? Why is it when a person's in a tzara he's so energized? At that point his emotions have been engaged. He realizes, this is it. I have to be mechaveh now. I have to be mechaveh now. I really need it. When a person has a certain emotional connection to what he's doing, if he realizes, this is for me, this is something I need, then you can be mechaveh. And it becomes very, very easy. Because then you've engaged your emotional part. And tefillah is all about your emotional self. Right? It's not a seichel, it's a avod halev. Your lev has to be there. So, for example, right, in Ashrei, we say Pesach HaZidecha. And that's supposed to be the main pasuk. Right? My wife was telling me that she had a teacher, Rebbe actually, in high school, that told her that that's true. That is one of the most important psukim in Ashrei. But to him, he said, Karav Hashem L'chol Karav speaks to him a lot more. Hashem is there, he's listening to you, he's waiting to hear you. And she said, she just didn't say that pasuk the same way since then. You know, that Pesach HaZidech is important. We know we need food. But sometimes we don't always see that direct correlation. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we see the direct correlation where Hashem gives us, and then we'll use that opportunity to say Pesach HaZidecha B'chavana. But Karav Hashem L'chol Karav is something everybody can relate to. Hashem is listening to us. Hashem wants to hear us. We know about the relationship. We appreciate the relationship. I had a friend in L.A. who was older than me, and he was speaking by the bar mitzvah of his son. Now, this wasn't a regular bar mitzvah. He has five children, five sons, and three of them were seriously, seriously mentally disabled. Seriously, one of them he couldn't even keep in his house. He had to send him away to an institution. A very, very big bal yisurim in that way. And he was speaking by the bar mitzvah, the oldest one of these children that were mentally disabled. And he said by the bar mitzvah that, he said he's been in the hospital many times because various different complications that are connected to the problem. And there were a number of other parents, not religious, or not Jewish, that were there as well, similar type of problems. And he said they were totally devastated. He could see they were at a loss, they were miyuyish. They didn't know what to do with themselves. Totally overwhelmed and devastated. And he realized he had Hashem, he had a sitter. And they didn't. And that made the world of the difference. So we all appreciate the relationship we have with Hashem. It's something we can relate to. So that's something that can energize us, and that can make us daven, that can make us feel the davening. I heard a story once, and since I heard this story, I don't say this pasuk the same way. Rabbi Kiva Eger, towards the end of his life, had a stroke. And as a result of the stroke, he couldn't talk. And so he wasn't able to daven. But there was one pasuk he was able to say. Regardless, he was able to say this one pasuk. And that was the pasuk of Tehilas Hashem Yedaber Pi. That pasuk he could say. And in other words, the overwhelming importance of that concept, I can daven to Hashem, what it meant to Rabbi Kiva Eger, he was able to get that pasuk out. It means he said his whole life, he said that pasuk that way. So even when he had a stroke, he was just able to say it. And lastly, we're going to figure out ways to make davening easier for us, to make it easier for us to realize to be mechaven. And if we need, we'll put stop signs in our sidurim, you know. But there are a number of other tactics, and this I hope will all work together, you know. So in every vow, Amir Tzashem, I'll prepare like 10 minutes worth, and then we'll discuss it to see how we can make it more relevant, how we can make it more applicable. But like for argument's sake, you know, you think about why is it that it's so much easier to daven on Rosh Hashanah? Why is it that the Shemoneh Esrei goes so much better? And there's a lot of different reasons for it, if you think about it. And just one, for example, is that you're not in a rush. You know you're there, you're parked. You're not going anywhere till 1:30. And you have no idea what difference that makes on the Shemoneh Esrei. And I've thought about it many times. It's very hard to emulate because it's just not in the same situation. But when you think about it, if you start Shemoneh Esrei and you realize, okay, how long am I here? 5 minutes, 6 minutes, how long is it? So I have 6 minutes. I have a full 6 minutes to daven. It can change your whole attitude, how you're davening. It's much less than the 20 minutes perhaps you allot to it on Rosh Hashanah, or a half hour, or whatever it is. But even if you start realizing you have 6 minutes, so you're not rushing, you know, you're not zipping through it. And let's even cut it down even more. One pasuk we can find time to say, right? Even in the middle of Pesukah de Zimran, you came 20 minutes late, and you have your tefillin half on and half off, and you're answering, how many Hesh Mirabah? There's one pasuk you can say, okay, this pasuk, I'm not in a rush now. I'll say this pasuk with Kavanah. So there are a lot of things that we can think about the situations where davening is easier for us and try to apply those aspects to our davening. We'll see what works and see what doesn't work. We'll try to work on it together. So, to summarize, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll start with Ashrei next week and we'll focus on the tachlis of the tefillah, the importance of it, what it does, why it's so important to focus, what it accomplishes to us. Then we'll also work on how to relate to it. We'll work on the different mahalchim and the different pshatim that the mefarshim say that make it so relevant to us, so relevant to our particular situation. And lastly, we'll try to come up with ways that we do actually end up employing the things we've learned, that we do end up focusing and putting in our heart, putting in our soul, into our tefillah. Shkoyach. See you next Tuesday night, Mr. Hashem.
Okay. Yeah. So, title is Safer based on the Seal of Sishura.